All right. Anybody have anything you want to give away? Any praise report?
God's so good.
He sure is. He sure is. That is Him. That is Him. He's good. And He's good all the time, isn't He?
Amen.
All the time. Of learning the balance of letting God lead you. That's the big thing. That's the most important thing. Anything I ever suggest to y'all in any kind of way, I think I've tried to convey this from time to time. Anybody else suggest anything to you, what you want to do more than anything is follow the leadership of the Lord. Whatever the Spirit of God leads you, whatever He roots in you with His truth, so that you can walk in faith, because faith, you got to have something from Him to walk in faith. We're not walking blindly in faith. We're walking in something from God. That is, we've got a word from Him. We're clinging to it and walking in it. You know, when God comforts us, God doesn't comfort us in lies. God doesn't comfort us in untruths. God doesn't comfort us in falsehoods. God comforts us. His comfort is in a revelation from Him, that we see Him in His ways. And that's why it's important to have a word from Him and trust Him and entrust our kids, our children and grandchildren to Him. And we're there for them and could do, want to do anything we can to help them and point them in the right direction, with the balance of not controlling them or controlling the circumstances, but there as they need the help. And at times too, discerning on when you know, okay, well, I could help you, but I don't think it would be the best thing for me to help you right now, that you've gotten so dependent on me to help you that I'm becoming a crippler.
You know,
man, it's a battle, ain't it?
It's
a war.
To be a parent and
yeah.
Know when and when not to. And,
mm-hmm.
But then with us getting older, it's a new season. And
yeah. Help, yeah. Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. You walk closely with the Lord, the Lord's going to walk closely with you, and things are going to be timely is the whole thing. Is you walk with Him, you draw near to Him, what does He do? He draws near to us.
Amen.
And that's ought to characterize our day in and day out life. We're drawing near to Him, and He's drawing near to us. He shepherds us. He leads us. And whatever He shepherds us to, He's going to shepherd us through. There are times where we can create some drama, you know, or create some things in our own making, then complain about what we created. And that's why it's important for us to listen to Him, follow His lead, be sensitive and discerning to what He would have for us. I shared a little bit of something today about going through circumstances and things in our life and how those things are not to manipulate us nor to dictate our next steps. That goes back to depending on the Lord Himself and how He uses all those things in our life to for us to be able to help other people and be a blessing, that He can demonstrate His ways through us, and that is not to conform us. And too oftentimes, see, that's what the world wants to squeeze us out and conform us. Well, how does the world operate? Circumstances govern the people of the world. Whatever situation they're in, whatever they're going through, that is what's manipulating and move them, and that's that unstable as water. You know, water's completely at the mercy of its environment. And we don't want to be that way. We don't live as unstable, just totally the opposite. We want to be steadfast and faithful, which comes from our relationship of walking with Him who is consistent, who is no variation or shadow of turning, who is steadfast and faithful. it's totally opposite than being unstable. And we want to walk with Him, and when we do, we then realize that the circumstances don't have to shape us. God's transforming us through the circumstance, and then we become a transformer, and our circumstances are not dictating how we respond, the way we think, what we do next. God's doing that, and He's doing that through us. And that just goes back to, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Do what? Surrender yourself to the Lord. Don't let the world conform you, shape you to its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. And that goes back to just simply trusting. Look in Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We've talked about this a time or two, but it's such a great picture here. Psalm 37. God gave it to us for a distinct reason. Our tendency at times to want to control things. We want to control the uncontrollable. And when trying to control the uncontrollable, or even things that we think we can control, it creates tension. It creates fretting in our spirit. And that's what he says, starting off in this, do not fret because of that which is not right. Evildoers are just doing things that are not right. They don't have to, anything that is, whatever's not right is wrong, and whatever's not right is not right with God. So sometimes we could be the ones who are doing what's not right, or our kids could be the ones not doing what is not right, and we don't want that to manipulate us. That's why he says, do not fret, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. That is, you see other people who don't let anything bother them at all. Their kids are hellions and just doing everything under the sun, and it don't have no effect on them. You know what I'm talking about? Or when I just say kids, with things going around them, nothing gets to them. But they're not servants of Jesus. They're not looking to Him. They just approach life in this happy-go-lucky spirit, but things don't bother them. I mean, we know people like that. We've been around people like that. And there's times where they don't have a war. That's the thing. The believer's got a war going on in him.
Amen.
It's a constant war. And it's a war that is fought, so much as we got to put on the armor to know that we're fighting a battle. And our flesh is going to lie to us. Our flesh don't know anything about Jesus. Our flesh is going to lie. We're going to lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves more than anybody, if you really think about it. And that's why we don't pay attention to ourselves. We don't lean on ourselves. We trust in what God says. He says, for they all, that will all be soon cut off, and they shall wither. But he says this, here's the solution. Is what? Trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord. To trust Him. Trust what He says. Trust in the Lord and do good. The idea of doing good is really the picture of advancing. What you trust in Him, you then advance that. You walk in that. You do that of what you trust in. Dwell in the land. Dwell in it with confidence, knowing that you trust in Him who has authority, and feed on His faithfulness. Not feed on the atmosphere of the society, not feed on what your kids may be doing or not doing, what your community may be doing or not doing, what others may be doing or not doing. Y'all got any co-workers that do things that just can drive you nuts? Don't feed on that, because remember, whatever you feed grows.
Amen.
Whatever you feed grows, whatever it is. If you feed misery, misery is going to grow. If you feed discontentment, it's going to grow. You feed pride, it swells, it grows. Whatever we feed grows. That's why we have to be the gatekeepers of our own heart. As Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart, for out of it proceeds all the issues of life. I shared a little bit of something yesterday I had in my mind about a zookeeper. zookeepers are responsible. Any responsible zookeeper is not going to let just anybody feed the animals that are under their authority. Because the wrong people feeding the wrong thing to the wrong animal has the potential of hurting or damaging or killing that animal. It don't take much. It don't take much poison to kill a beast. Just a little bit. And you see, we're our own zookeeper or gatekeepers of what gets in. And what we let in is what's going to feed us. And if we're feeding on lies, we're going to swell with lies. We're feeding on anger and disappointment and all those things. You feed it, you keep feeding it, it's just going to get out of control and it's going to grow. So we feed on His faithfulness. We delight ourselves in the Lord, and He shall give us the desires of our heart. Commit your way to Him and trust also in what He gives you when you do, and He shall bring it to pass, and He shall bring forth your righteousness. That is, what He's put in you, He's going to bring it forth like the light, and your justice as the noonday. And then you rest in Him and wait patiently for Him, and do not fret because of him who may prosper in his ways, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. He says these three things: cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret, it only causes harm. But fret not only causes harm for you, it causes harm for everybody around you.
Amen.
So you can't feed it. You feed it, it's going to grow. Keep that in mind. Whatever we feed grows. You feed your dog, what happens with your dog? You feed your belly, what happens?
It grows.
It grows. You feed your mind, it's going to grow in whatever you're feeding it. And that's why we want God to be the one who feeds us. That's why we want to feed on His faithfulness, and He helps us. So these are just some really, to me, these are some really solid, just great picture of how do we battle with these issues of worry and anxiety and fretting. It's always going to go back to trusting. Trust in the Lord, dwelling and feeding upon Him, delighting in Him, committing our way to Him, trust in what He gives us to walk in, and just rest in Him. And when we do, God has a way of transforming us for those things that used to be very difficult for us to walk in and walk through. Circumstances may not change, but see, He's changing me. And when He's changing me, it's going to change how I look at the circumstance, even though the situation may not change at all. And it's not governing me. God's governing me now. And now He's going to manifest Himself out of me through it. And that's part of that proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. And so when you find yourself, or I find myself, and I got to remember who I am. I'm a child of the King. Who I belong to a faithful Creator. And I believe that He's able to use whatever I'm in right now to make me more and more like Him. And it's not really about me, what I'm going through. He's going to use me to be a blessing to other people in this and to help others. And it changes how I look at what I'm in, because He's changing me. And what a difference that makes. Amen. What a difference it makes. So, anything else? Any other thing that you might have? Something you might want to share?
Right where we were there in 37?
Yeah.
Verse 16.
He says, let's see here. I've done jump back in Luke, so let me get to 37 again. 37:16, he says, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Little.
Much.
When God is. Yes. And what a revelation. You see, that's that comfort. God is the God of all comfort. And He comforts us in all our troubles, that we may be able to comfort other people. So it's not the trouble that He emphasizes, it's the comfort that God emphasizes that we have in common.
Yeah.
Some people say you got to go through what I'm going through to be able to relate or for us to walk together in this. You can't connect or relate to me because you haven't walked in my shoes in this. But that's not what God teaches. I know that that's what humanity teaches. I know that's what our world teaches. And I do understand if you've been through something, you can relate to certain things about that. But God teaches us, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, is that He says, God is the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies, and He comforts us in all our afflictions or troubles, that we may be able to comfort others who are also in their trouble. He doesn't emphasize what trouble that may be, because the common denominator is a common comfort. And remember, comfort's not a feeling. Comfort is a revelation from God.
Amen.
A revelation of Himself, of His presence, of His purpose for what you're in and for His priorities to come out. It's a revelation from God. And man, that makes all the difference. If you're looking for a feeling, you're never going to find it, because it comes in a revelation. Now, that revelation transforms not only the way we think, but the things that we... how we think, how we love, how we feel. It changes our emotions. It changes all that. But His common comfort... look in 2 Corinthians. Just look there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. A common comfort. Notice in verse number 3, and as we read through it, he's going to use the word tribulation and trouble and affliction a handful of times, but he never gives a specific kind of trouble. He just says in verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in what? Any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So we're talking about a common comfort that comes to me in my unique situation. But it's a common comfort, and it's not a feeling. It's not an emotional thing. It's a revelation of the presence of God and the purpose of Him in this. Verse 5 goes on to say, for as the sufferings of Jesus abounded in us, so also our comfort also abounds through Christ. Verse 6, now if we are afflicted, we're troubled, Paul is saying, if we are, we're going through it so that your comfort, and it's for your comfort and salvation, which is effective for you to endure the same sufferings which we also suffer, or if we are comforted by God, it is also for your comfort and salvation. So notice that. The trouble we're going through with God in it with us, like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, number one, God didn't keep them from the fire, and God didn't put out the fire. God just got in the fire with them. Jesus got in the fire with them.
Amen.
When Nebuchadnezzar looked over, what did he see? He saw a fourth person in there. He didn't stop the fire. He didn't keep them from the fire, but he brought them through the fire. And that common comfort is a revelation of His presence with us. And that He's going to use this to comfort and deliver other people. That's why He doesn't highlight a particular kind of trouble, but He emphasizes God's comfort in the trouble, because that's the heart of it. But that common comfort is not something that we feel, Miss Pat. It comes in the revelation of God's presence and His ways and how He's using this. and how He's bringing me through it. I'm passing through it. But I'm passing through it so that I could be an instrument or a vessel that He's going to use to help somebody pass through their trouble. And that they're going to help somebody pass through their trouble by the same common revelation that He gave to me. And that's the difference between how some people, the world, enters into their daily lives of trouble. The troubles around them conform them. It makes them into who they are. But for the believer, the disciple of Jesus, the trouble's not making us who we are. God's making us who we are. Because the trouble is not what's squeezing us out. God's transforming us and renewing our mind with His presence and His ways. And then we can display before the world what is His good and acceptable and perfect will.
Amen.
The difference between being conformed to the world or being transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's all in His presence. The difference how we look at going into the trouble compared to the trouble shape. Look in Romans. Look in Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse number 36. Chapter 11, verse 36, then we'll go into chapter number 12. 11:36 says, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things." Now that's a word right there, isn't it?
Amen.
"Of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Based on that knowledge, that revelation, Paul then says, "I plead with you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by these mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed." That word means to be squeezed and molded. Don't be squeezed and molded to this world, which the world is squeezed and molded by the things they go through, by the circumstances of life, the information they have about it. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That the circumstances you're going through is not what's going to squeeze you, but God's going to transform you through it and use that to bring glory to Himself.
Amen.
See, the world will tell you when you're going through, or they going through something, whatever they're going through gives them the right to respond a certain way. That's why when they're going through certain things, they feel like they have the right to be ugly to you. Or they have the right to be mean to you. If you only knew what I was going through, what I'm going through gives me the right to mistreat you. But that's not how the child of God operates.
Amen.
What we're going through doesn't give us any right at all to respond in any kind of way, because that's saying that what I'm going through is dictating me to respond to you in a certain way, rather than when we're being transformed, God is leading us through and we're not being governed by the circumstances. We're being led by God, and He's changing how we look at it and see it with His presence in our life. Man, it makes all the difference in the world.
Amen.
For an example, some people believe when they reach a certain age, which is circumstantial, when they reach a certain age, they feel like they can say what they want to say to whoever they want to say it. But what gives them that authority to do that? Are they not still under the same governing principles that they had when they were 25 years old as they are at 70 years old?
Come on.
See, that's a circumstantial thing. That's not how the child of God operates. Circumstances are to never govern or dictate nor manipulate my life. That's only the only one that has the right or the authority to do that is God Himself. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what living by faith is. is hearing, believing, and acting on what God is revealing or speaking to us. So, but in a fallen world, with this fallen flesh, it's unavoidable. There are times we give in to the circumstances. When we do, we recognize it. We recognize that was the flesh that wasn't of the Lord. We confess it. We repent of it. We get it right, and we move on with Jesus. Amen? You just wipe the dust off, get your eyes back on Him, and keep walking with Him. Amen?
Amen.
And keep walking with Him. So, all these things, they just, I was seeing that, you know, when we was reading in Luke's Gospel of how these scribes and these Pharisees were doing all they could to, they felt like they had the right to trap Jesus. When they brought they invited Him to the house to have that supper. And they brought in guests. And they brought in the guy with dropsy. What's dropsy? Anybody have an idea what dropsy is? Dropsy is the appearance of fluid on the body. You ever seen somebody struggling with like a congestive heart failure? And what normally happens to their legs and their ankles and their feet? They swell up. They start swelling up. And because of fluid on the body. The heart's not pumping right. It can't get the fluid off the body. Y'all know somebody right now that's probably on some kind of Lasix or something like that to help relieve fluid. Well, that's what dropsy is fluid that is recognizable and noticeable. So they sit this guy before Jesus wanting to see His response because it was what? The Sabbath. And they believe Jesus was a charlatan, one who worked for a hire to heal people. And that's why they kept blaming Him. Why are you healing on the Sabbath? You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Well, Jesus looks over at the guy, heals him, and then lets him go. Why did He let him go? Because He wasn't there to participate in the feast. He was there just as a means to get Jesus to do something. And Jesus knew that. So He does something about it and heals him. Remember when He healed the woman that was bent over? How long was that woman bent over? What did it say? This is chapter 13. She was bent over for how many years? Longer than half of the life of Jesus. How old was Jesus at this time?
30-something.
He's probably 31, 32, 33 years old. He's getting close to Calvary. 18 years. So that's over half His life as far as physical life upon this earth. That woman, notice it. She didn't. This is in chapter 13. Look in verse number 11. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And she was bent over. And she could in no wise raise herself up. I mean, she's bent over whatever she had, and she couldn't lift herself up. Can you imagine living like this for 18 years of your life? Jesus saw her. He saw her. He noticed her. Just like He sees you, just like He sees me, He sees us. We know He sees us. He saw her, and He spoke to her. What did He say? Woman, thou art loosed from your infirmity. Then what did He do? He touched her. He touched her, and He raised her up. He lifted her up. He saw her. He spoke to her. He touched her. He lifted her. And she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Now here, can you imagine? You just seen something like that happen. A woman who had an infirmity and couldn't even raise herself straight at all. And something just happened to her. And they're mad at Him because it's a Sabbath day. And then Jesus said, there are six, they said there are 6 days on which men should work, which tells us they thought Jesus was working for money. He was doing this for a living. He was a charlatan. He made money for healing people. And he then says, you old hypocrite. Does not each one of you on a Sabbath loose his ox and donkey from the stall and lead it to go water it? Boy, he called him, didn't he? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. And then he says this. Think of it now. Think of this. For 18 years, shouldn't she be loose from this bond on the Sabbath? And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and the multitude rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. Man. Just that work that he does. You could rest assured we're noticed. He sees us. He speaks to us. He's touched us. Man, and he's lifted us up. Amen.
Amen.
And what should be our response? To bring him glory. Just to glorify him. Whether anybody else can see it or notice. Remember, the world doesn't see the work of Jesus. You know, just like the world doesn't see the work of the blood, they still see the old stain been left behind, the things we've done in the past. That's all they can see. They can't see the work of the blood of Jesus. That's seen in faith, and only those that belong to him see that. And that's why we have to recognize that, hey, they can't see what we can see. And but that don't mean that we've been given the right to mistreat them, be ugly to them, or anything that away. Why? They're not going to govern us. Our circumstances are not going to govern us. I want to hear from him and walk in what he gives me. Amen?
Amen.
How much leaven does it take to leaven a whole lump? Very little. When the kingdom gets in you, what does the kingdom do? It takes over, doesn't it?
Amen.
It really does. It takes over. All right. Well, look, I done got about hungry. You hungry, Carolyn?
I am.
Salt is good, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land or for the dunghill for seasoning. You know, that's really the objective of the whole thing about being a disciple of Jesus. When we see him, you know what else? Everything else loses its flavor in life.
Amen.
Life loses its flavor without Jesus. And that's really the heart of it. Of course, we are salt, and there are other times that these thoughts are brought up, but not in this context, as Luke brought it up, and not with the idea of salt being fit for seasoning or fit for the land and that perspective. And it goes back to the idea of if we're not willing to forsake all, if all doesn't lose its flavor when we see him, something we see in the wrong, well, something ain't right here. Because I want to tell you, Jesus understands, that's a great statement. If any man comes to me and doesn't hate his mother, father, wife, brother, and sister, he cannot be my disciple. Ain't nobody ever made those claims like that.
Amen.
But see, he knew who he was. And he knew he was worth forsaking it all for him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And that's what we want to bring that in perspective in our everyday life. Help us, Lord. All right. Father, we love you and thank you. We ask you to help us, to teach us, to grow us. We want you to feed us. We don't want to feed our pride. We don't want to feed our heartaches and our shame. Whatever we put our eye on, we drift toward. And we don't want to do that. We want to get eyes on you. We need you to feed us. We need you to lift us. Thank you for touching us. And thank you for speaking life into us. Ask you to be with our church family. Help us, Lord. Help each one in where they are. Make us the delightful, joyful people who are winsome on the job in our communities and wherever you send us so that you would be delighted to work in us and through us to rescue those that are perishing, to edify the saints of God, and that we would be those kingdom-minded warriors doing what you've set us apart to do. We can't do it without you. As Pam said tonight, we understand this war that we're in and every day, and we need you to be our commander. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all.